We learn from the book of Philippians that God has highly exalted Jesus, giving him the name which is above every name. That exalted Jesus fills the pages of the book of Revelation, a Jesus with hair as white as snow and eyes of flaming fire. In John's vision of Jesus, he falls before him as one dead. Jesus then details his judgments on seven churches of that day. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Turn to Revelation 1:17. We're beginning with John's vision of Jesus in glory and the reassuring words Jesus said to him.
And so it is that this John who leaned on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper falls before him in worship and overwhelming adoration, and Jesus kindly says, "Don't be afraid. If you're with me, you can handle the future. I have the key of death and of Hades." Milton said that the reason that Satan rebelled is that he would rather be king in hell than a servant in heaven. What a mistake Lucifer made, because there are no kings in hell. In hell, Lucifer is not the tormentor, he is the tormented. And he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's always a bad idea to fight God. But Jesus said, "I have the keys of death and of Hades. I'm the one that determines when people go in and where they go when they do go in. I determine their eternal, everlasting destiny." Now, where does that leave us as a church? Please notice today, my dear friend, that Jesus stands today amid the candlesticks. I want you to visualize Jesus here from about 8 o'clock in the morning at Moody Church. I want you to visualize him going down the aisles. He's checking to see whether the ushers are faithful, whether or not they're on time. He's there to see the Sunday school teachers and the ABF leaders as to whether or not they're being faithful to the word and faithful to their flock. He's there looking at the Parkers. He's there checking us out. He's listening to our music. May it ever glorify him. He's listening to the word that is being preached. And Jesus, if you asked him, now, of course, you know that he is everywhere because he is God, but he is localized. He'd say, "Where do I spend my Sunday mornings? I go to church too, because I observe the faithfulness of God's people." The double standard, people who would perhaps never be late to work, nonetheless indifferent regarding the time when they come to church. All those things are observed because Jesus is here. How precious is the church to Jesus? The scripture says he bought it with his own blood. That's how precious it is. And when you read chapters 2 and 3, as we will as we go through this series, you'll notice that Jesus rebukes the church. He says to the church in Ephesus, as we'll learn next week, "You've left your first love, and if you do not repent, I will take out your candlestick from its place." A few years ago, we were in Ephesus. There is no church in Ephesus. One of the most sobering things you will hear from me today is simply this. You can go to all the seven churches which are in Turkey today. We send camera crews there because they look at the churches archaeologically and look at the history, but there is no Christian church to speak of. The candlesticks have been removed. The fact that Jesus said, "I will build my church," is no guarantee that it is automatic. If we don't hear his voice, our candlestick could be removed from its place. You know, the death of a church is a very, very sad thing. I think to myself that when a church closes its doors, doesn't that hurt you in your heart? A church moves from the inner city to the suburbs because the demographics change. What are we saying about the triumph of Jesus where the need is the greatest. Or you have churches that sell their buildings to other religions, and I think to myself, you know, if that other religion can do it and can make a go of it, where are the people of God? Sometimes it's because the church was unwilling to adapt, unwilling to change its focus, it lost its vision, and the candlestick is removed. I think that whenever a church is closed, that the leaders of that church ought to call a funeral. They ought to invite the whole evangelical communion and the whole evangelical community, and then give us lots of Kleenex boxes so that we can weep and mourn. But the candlestick has been taken out. Let us not take for granted the gift that God has given us here at the Moody Church. Don't ever take it for granted. You say, well, is Jesus like Santa Claus? You know, going through trying to find things that you're doing wrong. He's got his list and he's checking it twice. No. I'll tell you that the primary reason that Jesus is here observing us is because he not only judges his people, because he wants to reward us. We're going to notice in these seven churches over and over again, he says things like this: to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Jesus is saying, I want to reward you in ways that will blow your mind if you're faithful to me and if you are an overcomer. Now, I'm going to take a different interpretation of that phrase that we're going to encounter seven times in the next seven messages. Because there are some people who teach all Christians are overcomers. Yes, we are in Christ. But I don't believe that all Christians are overcomers. That's why Jesus has a general letter to the church, and then he's always calling out individual. He, or we could say she, who overcomes, to them I'll give this promise. That's why I asked at the beginning of this message, think about, first of all, Moody Church, and then think about you. We'll talk about Moody Church, and we may have some disagreement as to which church in the book of Revelation best fits us, but in the midst of it all comes down to you, and it comes down to me. Last night, before I fell asleep, I again quickly read the chapters 2 and 3, those seven letters, and I noticed seven times Jesus always said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because this is the reality. There are some of you during this series of messages who are going to hear, and it's going to be transforming for you, as I hope it is going to be for me. We'll hear the Spirit call us out and speak to us. But there are others, sadly, who just won't get it. They'll hear the same words, but they will not respond because they're not hearing it for themselves by the Spirit. So you have an assignment. And the assignment, very briefly, is this. I want you to read chapters 2 and 3, and I want you to read it over and over again. Ask yourself, what letter best fits Moody Church? What would Jesus say to us if he were writing to us today? And then I want to ask you to read it for another reason. What is God saying to you? Are you an overcomer? Is he appealing to you and say, but to him who overcomes, I'm going to bless you in ways that you could not possibly have envisioned? Are you going to do that? Whatever men build, said Augustine, men will destroy. I say, let's get on with the business of building the church, because the gates of Hades ultimately cannot prevail against it. God has given us a great opportunity here at the Moody Church. We are on the brink of what could be a great time of growth, both in depth and in numbers, with the new Christian Life Center. But the question is, will we hear the Spirit's voice, or will we not? And I conclude today with a question for you, by the way. So, who is Jesus for you today? You believe in the Christmas Jesus, the Jesus, the baby? You believe in Jesus, the rabbi, the great teacher whose sayings are famous. Do you believe in Jesus as Savior? I hope you do. But if you do not see him as judge, if you do not see him as coming king, you don't have a full picture of who it is that we love and who it is that we worship. Let us this week fall at his feet as though dead. We're in the presence of the triumphant, victorious Jesus. And let us pray. And our Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you might take these words and burn them into our souls. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, they have never believed on him. They know only the Jesus of Christmas and the Jesus, the teacher. Show them that Jesus is Savior. And for those of us who know that he is also judge, help us to worship him in new ways. Help us to understand that eventually every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And because of that, we pray, may we confess him, Lord of our life, right now. Whatever God has talked to you about, would you say it? Speak to him right now. Take our frail words, O Lord God, we pray, and translate them into heartfelt prayers, because we do love Jesus, Savior, and coming King. Pray in his name. Amen. I have two words for you today. First of all, to those who have never received Jesus Christ as Savior, would you do that? After listening to this message and realizing his sovereignty and his greatness and the fact that he is going to return in judgment, and to know that he is not just a little baby in a manger to be cuddled at Christmas time, but that he is the triumphant Lord, the fearful triumphant Lord. That is to say, we should fear him, invite him to be your Savior. But also I have a word for those of you who know Christ as Savior. You know, scarcely a week passes here at the Moody Church without me receiving some book written by someone about how to do church. We have so many books that analyze the church, so many books that say, this is the way you do it. We did it this way and we were successful. It's not possible to even keep up with everything that is happening. But I believe that the most important letters, the most important evaluation ever given to the church is in the letters to the churches of Revelation. Stay tuned and we'll learn about them next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up A Vision of Jesus, the first of 8 messages in a series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Tomorrow, don't miss the rebuke to the church at Ephesus. What Jesus thinks of his church probes our motivations for serving the Lord. This 8-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of his church. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.